October 22nd, 2000, DNSO, IGO, Access to Curative Rights Protection Mechanism meeting. We are in Liffey Meeting Room 2 and will run from 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. local time.
Start. Please start with a roll call. Yes, definitely. So, please.
Thank you. My name is Jan and I'm representing now the Council of Europe, the more precisely committee, which is an advisory committee to the Convention 108, basically the Data Protection and Privacy Convention. I wanted also to convey the message of the Council of Europe to get involved more in ICANN work and to bring our expertise, if needed, on the issues as privacy and data protection can be very tricky issues, especially in Europe. So that's basically why I'm here.
Good morning. I'm Philip Corwin. I'm a co-chair of this working group, and also I represent the business constituency. I'm one of their two GNSO counselors. I'm also the interim chair of the business constituency.
And I'm Peder Infort, the other co-chair, also representing IPC, the intellectual property constituency.
Mary Wong, ICANN policy staff supporting this working group.
Marika Konings, ICANN staff.
Erica Randall, ICANN staff.
Osvaldo Novoa, Internet Service Providers Constituency.
So, just for the formalities, are there any new statements of interest? No. So, yeah, for the protocol, Peder Infort here. We have a very short agenda, most updating info, and even if I don't have it as a specific point, but perhaps I turn over to you, Mary, to just give us a quick update on the status of the expert.
Thank you, Peder. This is Mary from staff, and particularly for the benefit of those who are joining us, fairly new to the work of this group and for the recording. The working group is currently considering the issue of jurisdictional immunity for international governmental organizations. And there's been some work done in terms of initial research by the working group and staff. And, of course, there's been some exchanges between the working group and the Government Advisory Committee, specifically including with the affected IGOs. Nevertheless, this is an issue that is quite significant because one of the discussion topics is the claim from the IGOs that it is very difficult, if not impossible, for them to submit to the jurisdiction of a national court, and that is the one of the requirements to file a complaint under ICANN's curative rights dispute resolution processes. So this is quite a central question to the work of this working group. As a result, the working group, after thinking about it for some time and working on some potential questions that could be answered by a legal expert, has decided to proceed with engaging the services of an external legal expert. The working group reviewed a list of potential candidates, which was obtained through a solicitation through various networks, academic, professional, and amongst working group members as well. And the candidates did include several from different jurisdictions. And ultimately, in terms of availability and qualifications, the working group led by the co-chairs decided to proceed with a U.S.-based academic from George Washington University. And ICANN staff has now begun the contracting process with this expert, whose name is Professor Edward Swain.
Phil Corwin here for the record. Let me give a little more background, particularly for those who are just joining us. This working group started up about a year ago. Frankly, we thought we'd be done with our work by now. As you can see, the full name is IGO and INGO, Curative Rights Protections. That's for international intergovernmental organizations. And then also the INGOs are the non-governmental. We reached the conclusion early on that there was no real reason to consider special protection for non-governmental organizations, that they had full access to the existing curative rights processes of the UDRP and the URS, so long as their names or acronyms were trademarked. So we dropped them out of our consideration. There was no sovereign immunity issue. For the IGOs, we did find that they have substantial protection under national copyright regimes through Article 6 tier of the Paris Convention, which simply upon filing with the World Intellectual Property Organization gives them rather broad protections to all signatories to that convention and all members of the World Trade Organization. We have not determined up to now that they need a separate curative rights process because we're not sure of the consensus view that exists today regarding the scope of sovereign immunity for such organizations. As Mary mentioned, we're in the contracting process with a U.S.-based expert. Let me assure our guests from the EU that we're asking for the global consensus view and not the American view on this. We expect to receive that report late November, early December, and then we hope to proceed rapidly. We did get word on a call about a week and a half ago that in separate discussions between the board, the GAC, and the so-called IGO small group, which has chosen not to actively participate in this working group, that I'm talking about the IGOs, that they had reached an agreement in broad principle on a separate curative rights process which would not allow access to national court. We are awaiting the written details of that agreement in principle, but there is a recognition that particularly in regard to legacy TLDs, that such a process has to be reviewed by the GNSO Council. And once we have our own academic input and those principles in writing, Council will be able to take up that question probably early in 2016. I can't predict how it will come up yet, how it will come out in the end. But we're waiting to see both the broad outline of principles that's been reached as well as whatever legal justification is for the creation of a separate CRP. It's been the inclination of our group so far, and we have found, besides the copyright regime protection provided in the Paris Convention, as well as the fact that several IGOs have availed themselves successfully of the UDRP in the past, did not feel that the potential appeal was a barrier. Our general feeling within the working group is that we only want to engage in the work of creating a wholly new CRP if the consensus view on sovereign immunity justifies such a step. And I have nothing more to add at that point. Petter, anything from you?
Petter Rainford here. Just to also go back a little bit in time. The initial conclusion we made when it comes to IGOs was that we thought that there was no need for creating a new dispute resolution policy at that stage, at least. And I think it was already back in January that we came to the conclusion that we could merely add some references with the current UDRP referring to that in the case claimant is an international intergovernmental organization, that is IGO, meaning an organization with an international legal personality established by international agreement. Claimant may have trademark rights in the form of names and acronyms protected under the Article 6 of the Paris Convention for the protection of industrial property that have been duly communicated to the countries of the Union through the mediator of the International Bureau. That said, this Article 6 tier protection, so to speak, or list of protected names are not the same as trademarks, but it's at least protected so that no one else can register identical acronyms and names. And following up with the phone call we had led by Christer Spain last Monday, it was interesting to hear him kind of very, very clear statement from his point of view that acronyms shall not be treated as trademarks. Yes, we can agree upon that, be treated as trademarks, but maybe seen as similar or related. And that Icon board has stated for the group of IGOs that they don't have the same protection and shall not get the same trademark protection in dispute resolution policies. So we'll see if we have to come to the conclusion that we, as the next step, need to reconsider our initial position and perhaps create an IGO version of the UDRP. But then also looking at the difficulties with these jurisdictional issues. So we will wait for the result of the new expert to see his conclusions, if we can proceed the initial way we decided, or if we have to reconsider, and then also see if there is any way to, if the IGO loses a UDRP or an IGO UDRP, create the next step with maybe neutral panels.
Let me, first we have two new participants since we started. Could they just identify themselves for the record? And welcome.
Colin O'Brien, Partridge Garcia.
Christine Doreen, National Arbitration Forum and member of this working group.
I wanted to add, there is, the GAC issued its communique for this meeting last night. There is a very brief passage in the communique under the general topic of GTLD safeguards for the current round, and item 3 under that heading, protections for IGOs. This is the entire statement. It's one sentence. The GAC advises the board to, facilitate the timely conclusion of discussions of the, quote, small group, unquote, and the NGPC, which is new GTLD program committee, in an effort to resolve the issue of IGO protections. I note that GAC communique makes no mention of our group. They had recognized us in the past, but we've fallen off the radar screen for this communique. Let me just finish, Mary, and then you can jump in. To add a little more background, we did have a meeting with the chair and two vice chairs of the GAC. And Buenos Aires' previous communiques from the GAC indicated that they did not want access for IGOs to the UDRP or URS. They wanted an entirely new CRP. They also indicated that it should be available at free or nominal cost. We informed them that we had no ability to create a subsidy mechanism. That was something they'd have to take up. Separately, we asked them to provide some background on why they thought an entirely new process was required and what they meant by nominal cost, and specifically asked whether they considered the filing fee for the URS, which is $500, to be a nominal cost, and we did not get clear answers from the GAC. So we have had interchange with them, but it has not been wholly illuminating. The NGPC could create a CRP for the new TLDs, but I would note that the Global Domain Division has been very keen on consistency of contracts to the point where they recently imposed the URS and contract renewal negotiations for legacy TLDs. I think it would be an unfortunate result if we had one process for IGOs and legacy GTLDs and a different one in the new TLDs, but we'll deal with all that once we get our legal advice. Mary, go ahead with your comment, and then we'll see if there's any questions or desire of our participants for conversational interchange.
Thank you, Phil, and I think you probably know what I was about to say. This is Mary from staff, and far be it from me or from staff to guess how the GAC arrives at its language in the communique. I think for purposes of those new to our work, I think it might be helpful to at least note for the record that the small group that's referenced in the communique is a small group of IGO representatives that's working with representatives from the board through the new GTLD program committee. But I think the recent understanding we have is that, and as you mentioned earlier, that the proposal that's going to come out of this small group is going to be sent to the GNSO, including to this working group for consideration.
Right. I do know it's going to, and I think I noted, it's going to be sent to council. We don't know if council produces a recommendation contrary to what that group has indicated they'd like, what they will do, but it will go to council next for consideration once we get that in writing. And I just want to state, this is a personal comment, but I think it's fairly reflective of the views within the working group, that what we'd the working group and generally, and I in particular, are looking for a strong legally based rationale for creating an entirely new curative rights process. I do note I don't think there'll be, I can't predict, but there have not been, at least in the past, a great number of filings. Perhaps that's because of the sovereign immunity issue, but there have been some under the UDRP by IGOs. But I don't know how many there will be once this is addressed directly. But the circumstances in which a appeal to a national court would be in the very highly unlikely event that a IGO filed in a curative rights process, won in the process, and the domain registrant exercised their right to appeal. And I would note another issue that our working group has been dealing with is that while ICANN is tasked with enforcing relevant law, it has no ability, and it would be inappropriate for it to create new legal rights. And the existing CRPs, the UDRP and URS, were created as a lower-cost, faster alternative to litigation, not as a replacement that bars litigation. So there is a question, even if there were a new CRP solely for IGOs, which had an internal appeals process and no access to national courts, any registrant who had rights under their national laws or other relevant laws, perhaps, of those of their registrar that provided court access, it would be difficult. There's no ability for ICANN to prevent an individual registrant from going to court and seeking to protect the suspension or transfer of their domain. And it's not at all clear that a national court would give any credence to an ICANN policy that said that was not available. So that's another issue we're dealing with, but we're waiting to see what our legal expert says on that.
So I think come to the, if not anyone have any specific questions, we come to the number three on the agenda, which is kind of interesting, the next steps. What we had originally an agenda with timelines where we're going to make decisions on certain points, but I think we have left on that one since a long time ago. So, Mary, what can we expect in the near future? Because personally, I think both for the topic as such and for the working group that we need to make conclusions pretty soon. Once we have the result of the external expert, we can't sit and wait for inputs from IGOs that not come. So, do you have any specific timelines there?
Thanks, Petter. This is Mary from staff again. I don't know that we're able to be too specific about timelines. I think it's been noted previously by yourself and by Phil, including to the GNSO over the weekend here in Dublin, that the working group's timeline, as you've mentioned, has been affected by a number of developments. And I think the initial hope was that we would actually be in a position to have recommendations by this meeting. I think one of the considerations is, of course, the advice that we expect from the legal expert. And Phil, you've noted the timeline for that. The other input would be the small group proposal, which this group would consider. And I think, as most people know, but maybe not everybody, the small group proposal encompasses not just the curative rights aspects of potential IGO protection, but other forms of pre-registration protection, if I might put it that way, that deal with mechanisms that could work, like the trademark clearinghouse, which is out of the scope of this working group, but it would be something for the GNSO to consider overall. So in that respect, the hope had been, and this is reflected in the GATT communique from Buenos Aires, that that proposal would have been sent from the small group to the GNSO by this meeting. It hasn't happened for a number of reasons, including a lot of other discussion topics within the GAC and also more broadly in ICANN. So what we would do as staff is, following this meeting, to follow up with those that support that small group and to see if we can get more specific timelines from them, so because that will help you in planning the work of this working group for the next month or two.
Thank you for that, Mary. And just to add to that, this working group recognizes that certain aspects of IGO protections are wholly outside the scope of our charter, the ones that relate to whether IGO names and acronyms should be blocked at the first and second level of new TLDs, whether they should be included in the trademark clearinghouse. Those are separate issues from what we're focusing on, which is strictly when a IGO believes that someone has registered a domain which is identical or confusingly similar to their name or acronym, what arbitration process they have access to address that.
Thanks. Peter here. Does anyone have any questions on these topics? I have no one. I have one suggestion for myself, at least. I would like to see, as far as possible, an updated agenda, the schedule for what's coming up. I don't think we have looked at the original ones for a while now, it would be good to see. Obviously, there are some decisions made during this ICANN meeting. So if we could just put them on a new agenda and up to the full working group, so that we have some kind of conclusion what we can expect and when. Thanks.
And this is Mary from staff, just for the record and for those who are not physically in the room. Yes, staff will take that back and we'll prepare an updated work plan for the group. Again, it's been a little difficult because of the various developments, but we'll try our best to project ahead to Marrakesh at the latest, perhaps.
And I would just add, it's our fervent hope that once we receive that advice from the legal expert, which should be no later than the first half of December, that we can resume the rapid progress that this working group made up to the point where we had to confront the sovereign immunity issue, and hopefully deliver at least a preliminary report and recommendations by the time that ICANN meets in Marrakesh.
So that said, I think we have done the agenda for today, and also I don't think there is any need for a meeting next week. So let's send out once we know when we have something more to discuss.
And for those of us who are in the seventh of our eighth working day here in Dublin, there's no desire to deal with anything ICANN related next week. We need a week's break from this, and there won't be much to discuss anyway till we get the legal expert report. But we will
make it 2 weeks.
I think 2 weeks. And so I think we're ready to adjourn, and with seeing no further questions in the chat room or in the room. Those in the physical room, once again, there is food back here, and it's going to go to waste if it's not eaten. So if you haven't had breakfast or you're still hungry, please help yourself.